Praise the Lord. Is that your testimony this morning? We don't have the word quit wrote nowhere on us. We don't have the word give up nowhere about us. You never seen armor on the back of anybody. It's always on the front of them. We don't run from the devil. Amen. Are you glad about that this morning? Are you glad to be in the house of the Lord? Are you glad you're here last night? How many of you enjoyed the word of the Lord? Wasn't it good? Praise the Lord. Now I want you to turn around, shake somebody's hand, greet them in the name of the Lord. Tell them you're glad to see them in the house of God on Sunday morning. Play some more of that, guys. This morning, if you love him. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. Well, you can be seated for just a few minutes while we look at our prayer requests this morning. First of all, I want to let you know that Bob Blevins, my brother, came through his pacemaker surgery really well. He's at home resting, and he just wants to let everybody know that they thank you for your prayers. Sister Laura Krause says, I would like to thank the Lord and everyone for their prayers. I am 1,000% better today. That's pretty good, isn't it? Amen. Praise the Lord. Please pray for my brother David. He is battling stage 4 cancer, and we'll start a new chemo this week, so we will remember that request as we pray today. Thank the Lord for her testimony. Sister Sherry Hayden says, we want to thank everyone for their prayers and support during the passing of my mother, Sister Janice Counts. So we just continue to remember that family in prayer, that the Lord would be with them. Brother Richard Baker says, I was in the hospital for test on Tuesday. Praise God, everything came back well. No blockage, just a small, narrow place. And they wants to thank the Lord for touching him and being with him during that. Somebody say, praise the Lord. I want to pray for Sister Clara Davis, also Sister Boone, both congested. Request prayer, asking that we would remember them in prayer today. Sister Rebecca sends this in. I recently pulled something in my left shoulder so that I couldn't use my arm without pain. After the prayer last night, something that had taken years to heal in similar injuries was gone in a moment. I received my healing from the Lord with joy and thanksgiving. Praise the Lord. Amen. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Brother Daniel Willis is suffering with vertigo symptoms. We appreciate your prayers this morning, so we certainly want to remember him in prayer as we pray. All the unspoken prayer requests, I know there's many needs in this assembly, but we're serving a prayer-answering God, aren't we? You know he's more than able to meet every need among us today. You believe that? Somebody say, I believe it. Somebody say, it's the truth. Let's stand, give him one more good hand clap of praise this morning, if you will. Brother Daniel, God bless you, buddy. Amen. Certainly appreciate Brother Daniel Nunnally this morning, what he means to our church. God bless you, buddy. Appreciate you, Brother Daniel. The Lord bless you, buddy.
Last week, I request prayer for my son, Stephen, that was on his way to South Korea. He made it okay. He's over there fine. And I know I was bragging last week about my wife wrote me a note telling me all about my granddaughters and so on, requesting prayer for them. And I said, well, I'm going to read the note to make sure I do it right. And she had four granddaughters, and I said three. So I still got it wrong. But I want you to know we appreciate the prayers for my family. You know God's good to us, isn't he? Amen. I want you to just read a little something that I got. I thought it was good. It says, on bad days, I seek you. On good days, I thank you. On great days, I praise you. But every day, I need you. Thank you, God, for always being here for me. Bad days, good days, great days, every day. We need Jesus. Amen. Let's take these needs to God in prayer this morning. Heavenly Father, oh, how we love you and how we appreciate you. How we thank you for what you mean to us. Thank you, God, for paying that supreme sacrifice. Going up on the cross and bleeding and dying for my sins, for the sins of the world. For God, we know that if, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the service that we was in last night. Thank you for Brother Andrew. God, for the sermon they preached. God, we're just looking forward to another great time with you again today. Heavenly Father, we pray for our needs and our requests. We bring them before your throne right now, knowing that God, thou art the healer, thou art the savior, thou art the deliverer. And God, we commit every one of them into your hands. We pray in the name of Jesus that you move for these needs. And God, for those over the internet, pray God that you'll be with them and touch them also. Wherever they may be today, may your spirit move for them. God, we pray for the service today, the songs that sung, whatever happens, we pray that you're just anointed by your Holy Ghost. God, we love you. We commit this service into your hands. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen. Ushers, if you want to come at this time, we'll receive the morning tithe and offering you give us unto the Lord. If you're a visitor here with us in the service today, we certainly want to welcome each and every one of you. I understand a large portion of Brother Andrew's family is here in the service with us today. We want to welcome them. Give those folks a nice hand if you would. Marcus and Iris Turner, they're here with us in the service. Brother Marcus is not a visitor. He just come back home for a day or two. His wife got to be with him in the services this weekend, and this is her first time here. One more time coming. She's going to be adopted, so we just let her be aware of that. But we're so glad to have you here this morning. All of our visitors, Brother Wallace, God bless you. All of our visitors, we're certainly glad to have each and every one of you here. Most of all, we're glad for the presence of the Lord. You know, I heard Brother Branham talking on a tape yesterday. He was at a full gospel businessman's breakfast. And even at a full gospel businessman's breakfast, he said, brethren, it's very, very important that you keep the Spirit. Have the Spirit in these places. He said, everywhere that Jesus was, there was some noise going on. Everywhere he went, there was some racket. There were some people excited. And it's a truth even here today. We don't actually want to hang from these chandeliers or anything like that. But you know what? This is the best part of your day right now. Right now you're experiencing the very best part of your day. So let's make this service count this morning. We're here for the next couple hours or ever how long. But we want to make the best of it. We want to put everything we've got into it. These musicians are going to play. You're going to sing. We're going to worship. Brother Andrew's going to preach. We're going to have a great time here today. Somebody say, I believe it. Somebody say, well, we'll make it happen. In the name of Jesus, we will make it happen. Give him one more hand clap of praise if you love him. Well, glory, glory, hallelujah, since I couple of songs this morning. You can be seated at this time. A couple of specials. Brother Marcus is going to give us another song this morning. And we so enjoyed him singing last night, didn't we? Amen. Brother David Swanson, is he here this morning? Where is Brother David? I can't see. I see you, but I don't know who you are. Brother David, praise the Lord. I want him to come and get ready to sing for us too. If you don't have anything else, it is well. It's our all-time favorite that you do here. If you could do that, if you come on to the platform and sing after Brother Marcus. Let's give our singers a nice hand as they get ready to sing. Let's sing a little bit more glory, glory, hallelujah. While they're coming, let's sing just a little bit more of that chorus. Well, glory, glory, hallelujah.
Mary came into the tomb of Jesus. That old stone had moved. Our Lord had gone away. The angel said, "Fear not, I know whom seek ye, for he has risen." This she heard him say, "Oh, he's gone. The stone is rolled back, gone. Oh, the tomb is empty, gone to sit at his Father's side. Oh, he's gone over death's triumphant, gone. Sin is defeated, gone. Yes, he lives forevermore." Well, my friend, if you don't know this risen Savior, oh, then I beg you, please don't wait too late to pray. Oh, don't wait till this bride has been completed. Oh, don't wait till you hear him say it's just too late. Oh, he's gone. The stone's been rolled back, gone. The tomb is empty, gone to sit at his Father's side. Oh, he's gone over death's triumphant, gone. Sin is defeated, gone. Yes, he lives forevermore. Oh, now, my friend, if you don't know this risen Savior, then I beg you, please don't wait too late to pray. Don't wait till that bride has been completed. Oh, don't wait till you hear him say it's just too late. Oh, Lord, you're gone. Oh, the stone's been rolled back, gone. The tomb is empty, gone. Sit at his Father's side. Lord, he's gone over death's triumphant, gone. The sin is defeated, gone. Yes, he lives forevermore. Hallelujah.
When peace like a river attendeth my way, or when sorrows like sea billows roll, oh, to say it is well, it is well with my soul. Though Satan should buffet, though the trials should come, oh, let this blessed assurance control. Oh, that Christ has regarded my helpless estate and has shed his own blood for my soul. Yes, it is well with my soul. It is well, is well with my soul. My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought. Oh, my sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, oh my soul. Oh, it is well with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul. And Lord, haste the day when my face shall be sight. Then the clouds will roll back as a scroll. The trump shall resound, and the Lord shall descend. Even so, it is well with my soul. Oh, it is well with my soul. And Lord, 'tis for Thee, for Thy coming we wait. Oh, the sky, not the grave, is our goal. For the voice of my Lord, blessed hope, blessed rest of my soul. Yes, it is well my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul. Oh, it is well with my soul.
trusted you. If you can sing that from with revelation, you're richer than whoever the richest person in the world is. I'd rather have that revelation than be president of the United States for a million years. Because after the million years, then you'll be gone. With that revelation, you'll never die. Brother Louis wanted us to sing this as Brother Andrew comes out. Healing is here. Healing is here. Your healing is here. And I receive it. Oh, healing is here.
know he's here this morning. I'm a believer. What about you? Amen. I know that some may believe the days of miracles is past, but there's a whole building full of miracles here this morning. Amen. Some people may not believe that God still heals, saves, and delivers, but there's a witness here this morning that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we love him, don't we, this morning? I'll tell you, there's just something about that song that it just, well, the devil don't like it, but I love it this morning because it's a reality. Do you love him this morning? Amen. God richly bless you. We greet you this morning in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We certainly count it an honor and a privilege to be here this weekend. I pray that something was said last night to be a blessing to you, to be a help to you, to be an encouragement, and just to keep pressing the battle. We love Brother Louie. Quit making fun of my coats. I've lost weight since that coat you got one time. Amen. Do you love him this morning? Amen. We'll invite you this morning in the scriptures, if you've got your Bibles, to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We want to bring greetings from our church at home. Our pastor, Brother Roy Shrewsbury, and all the saints there at Spoken Word Tabernacle sends their greetings. And we certainly do love the Lord. We appreciate Brother Donnie and his friendship and the opportunity to stand here and speak to you this morning from the message of the hour. And I sure love and appreciate Brother Donnie and his stand for this message. You know, I was over in India last year, and there were some brothers who was talking to him, and I mentioned Brother Donnie's name to him. And when I mentioned his name to him, they got real excited, and one brother, he just started bawling. And I thought, man, I've said something, I've done something, I'm going to get in trouble, sure as the world. He said, when I first came in the message, he said, Brother Donnie came here and preached to us years ago. And he said, I never will forget, he preached on Satan's ambition. And he said, he picked up a guitar and sang us a song. And he said, I'd been in a lot of confusion about this message. He said, but when he came and preached it the way he preached it, he said, it changed everything for me. So I'll tell you, you're blessed to have a ministry that's identified around the world for the power of this message. Do you appreciate that this morning? Amen. God bless you. I want to say hallelujah. I appreciate that. And we just pray the Lord bless him and Sister Carol. And also I want to say I'm glad to have my wife here with me this weekend. We just celebrated our first year of marriage last Sunday. And so we're certainly glad to be here. And I'll just say any time to be here is a good time. But it's a real special time this morning to be here and to have all of our family here. My Uncle Tim and Rebecca and my two cousins, Riley and Titus, and then Julie and Gracie. And I've got my Uncle Andy here this morning. God bless you, buddy. My mom's here and my grandmother. I'm going to solve a mystery here. Brother Louis has called me Brother Andrew Murray for a long time. And that's because I believe we're born on the same birthday. So I'm a lot darker than he is. So now can we solve this? Amen. We love him this morning and glad to have him here. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse number 8. Just looking forward to the word this morning. Paul says, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. We are persecuted, but not forsaken. We are cast down, but not destroyed. Notice here, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which are alive are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest. Notice here what Paul says, in our mortal flesh. So Paul is not taking this scripture and putting it in the future, that the life of Christ is going to be manifested. But he's saying, even while we're still here in mortal flesh, that the life of Jesus Christ is going to be manifested once again upon the earth. He said, so then death worketh in us, but life in you. And we having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I have believed, And therefore I have spoken, we also believe and therefore speak. Now, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise us up, raise us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. Also, I'd like to read one place in Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 3, if you don't mind standing with me this morning for just a little bit of reading. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 3. Do you love the Lord this morning? The Bible says, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Let's just bow our heads together this morning, and let's just ask the Lord to come and bless his word. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do love you this morning. We thank you for your mercy and grace. Lord, we thank you for your love. We thank you for the spirit of truth. Lord, we thank you for assembly this morning, dear God, that we could get up and, Lord, get ready and come and assemble ourselves together. Lord, not under some dogma, under some creed, laboring under the idea of some man, but, Lord, to be gathered here in the house of the living God. Lord, we just invite you to come this morning. You see each and every heart. Lord, you see each and every need. Father, I pray that your mercy and grace would reach down. Lord, may you anoint us afresh this morning. Father, if there would be one that would still be bound, Lord, I pray that you would come through this place with a spirit of freedom. Lord, that they could leave and say they might have been bound by this thing for a long time, but they're leaving free by the power of Almighty God. We pray you would bless Brother Donnie and Sister Carol while they're away. Lord, may you bless this assembly, dear God, every officer, Lord, every family. May you just move among us in a mighty way this morning. We ask it in the wonderful name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we pray. And all the believers said, amen. Amen. And God bless you this morning as you may be seated. For a few moments, I want to continue speaking to you, if the Lord would help us, along the thoughts of what we was looking at last night, if that would be okay. And I trust that you enjoyed that portion of it. I'd like to continue speaking on living in the same faith, living in the same faith. And I want to say this morning, I believe that we are a church of faith this morning. I don't believe that we're gathered here built upon ideas or built upon doubts or built upon confusions, but rather I believe we're here built upon faith. And Brother Branham tells us, he said, now if you're going to have faith, he said, your faith, amen, has got to be built in something. So you're going to take your faith and you're going to build it around something. Now I like the way Brother Branham says this, because he says, I'm not here building your faith around the conditions of this world. He said, but I'm building your faith upon the promise of the world that is to come. So, amen, we realize this morning that this world is falling apart, this world is dying, amen, but we have a promise of a world that will never fade away. And we believe, amen, this morning that the only way that we're going to get from this world, amen, into the other world is by the Lord Jesus Christ. Brother Bram said, now, if I believe he's here, he said, then let me show you that he's here. He said, if Jesus would return right here during this meeting and would show himself in his people doing the same thing here that he did. Notice, as I said, that he did in the Bible, he said, then you'll know that we are absolutely living in Bible days again, amen, with the same faith that they had back then. Is that right? So when Paul here says we're having the same spirit of faith, he is telling us that we have come to a place, amen, that no matter what we're going through, we have a song of praise. Amen. No matter what we're facing, no matter what disappointment, no matter what trial, no matter what hurt may come, amen, we have a song of praise. You know, Paul said it this way, or rather David said, let everything that hath breath praise ye the Lord. So, amen, this is not an hour, amen, to be singing the song of defeat, but this is the hour to be singing the song of praise unto the God who is more than able to make all things work together for the good to them that love the Lord. You see, we are not gathered here this morning, amen, hoping, amen, that he's going to be here. We're not here gathering this morning in some walled city. You remember remember in the Bible that there was walled cities. The Bible says that there was walled cities and bond slaves would be on the inside of those walled cities. Now, there come a time called the hour of Jubilee, amen, that those people that was in those walled cities, if they had representation and they had identification in the inheritance, they could leave from within those walled cities and they could go to a place of freedom. You see, but then there were people, the brother Bram said, there were people who was out there on the plains. They were little bitty cities. He said, now those walled cities were supported by man. He said, but those little bitty cities were supported by God. He said, now it was a whole lot hotter out there in those little bitty cities. He said, but there is where the blessings was. Now, have you ever thought about when Abraham and Lot came together and Abraham and Lot said, there's too much strife between our herdsmen. We've got to separate. We can no longer fellowship together with all this strife between us. You see, it was already in the heart of Lot to go to the well-watered plains of Sodom. But Brother Branham said Abraham so desired to be under the blessing of Jehovah that it did not matter to him that if he had to go out there to the plains of Mamre, which was a hot place, it was a struggling place, but he knew that is the identified place that the blessings of God would be. Oh, can I just preach here for a minute? Do you realize that Lot had to go to Sodom hoping that God would be there, but Abraham went to the plains of Mamre knowing that the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob had never failed his people one time? Aren't you glad this morning, church? Amen. Fathers, aren't you glad that you could get up this morning and get your families ready and bring them to a church that you weren't hoping that God was going to be here? You wasn't hoping that a miracle was going to take place. You wasn't hoping that somebody was going to get the Holy Ghost, but you knew from the time you got up until the time you sat down in that pew that you was coming to an assembly that because of the power of an end time message that's been revealed from the throne of Almighty God, you knew beyond the shadow of a doubt that there was going to be a God here this morning that could take the situations of your life and could take the circumstances. He can take your night seasons and turn them into breakings of new days. He can take your disappointments and turn them into victories. Hey, church, I believe this morning all things are possible because the Bible has been revealed and the God of the Bible has stepped from the pages of this book. You see, we are not here this morning, amen, holding some creed. We're not here this morning holding some traditional idea. We are here this morning worshiping in the liberty of the Holy Ghost. You see, Brother Bram said, someone is discussing with me some time ago in one of my meetings was speaking on the evolution of man and said he was only 6,000 years old. This man said, well, Brother Branham, we can prove that in the world is millions of years old. See, so the only thing you're talking about is all wrong. Brother Bram said, I said, don't you believe the Bible? And the man said, sir, truly, the Bible is the Bible, but it's not the truth. He said, I believe that a man wrote the Bible. And then Brother Bram said, this man had already received the ideas of some scientists. Now, isn't it amazing that a scientist is a man and they'll receive the ideas of a scientist, but they won't receive the words of a seventh angel? Well, Brother Branham was a man. Well, let me tell you something, dog. Darwin was a man. John Daly was a man. Martin Luther was a man. Come on, somebody. Brother said, but this Bible, he said, was the ideas of God that God moved upon the hands of those men and they formed the letters of this Bible. He said, and I stand upon this Bible this morning and I say, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall never pass away. Oh, is there anybody here this morning that can stand upon the principles of the Bible and say, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word shall never pass away? You see, the Bible is never wrong. Won't we just say that together? The Bible is never wrong. You see, if we can say the Bible is wrong, then we're believing a man's idea, but the Bible is never wrong. You see, the Bible this morning, I think we're going to have some church here today. The Bible this morning is a book of paradoxes. Now, I want you to catch this, because a paradox is something very important. Amen. Sometimes you ought to just stop and listen to Brother Branham's messages and see how he picks up words that seem so insignificant to the Bible, but takes that one word and ties 66 books together without one mistake from the first part to the end. Oh, brother, how many different writers? Let me just tell you about your God this morning. Can I just brag on my God for a minute? There was 66 books. There was different writers. There were different dispensations. There was different parts of the world that men was in when the scriptures was wrote. Amen. But let me say it this way. You cannot go from Genesis unto Revelation and find one mistake. You know why? Because it was not the words of a man. It was the words of Almighty God. Oh, may I say this morning, church, you will hear out of a preacher this day, you will hear the words of a man. But if you'll open up your ears and we'll all come in the same channel and we'll all just start believing that God is still God and He's still a healer and He's still a redeemer, I'll tell you what you'll hear. You'll hear the secret things from the back part of God's mind that the angels have not even heard, because it's secrets that He longs to reveal to His bride from the Word. You see, it's taking God at His Word. Now, you realize that no matter, amen, how unreasonable it may be, if those people, Brother Wallace, would have looked at the Word and would have said the Word is unreasonable, they would have never been called a paradox. But because they took the Word of God and judged the Word more faithful than the Word of a man, we've got a whole book called Hebrews chapter 11, and it's called The Heroes of Faith. Hey, you realize that they didn't get there by doubting? You say, Brother Andrew, they're there because they had it easy. What are you smoking? They didn't have nothing easy. They were sawed asunder. They were put in the lion's den. They were hung up on crosses. They were beat till their bodies wasn't even recognized. But there was something on the inside out of them that no trial, no fiery furnace, no lion's den, no idea of some man could ever stop what was on the inside of them. Oh, come on, church. I'm looking here this morning at the heroes of faith in this generation that has taken the same Bible that Peter and Paul and James and John took, and they all judged Him faithful. Can you judge Him faithful this morning? Is He faithful, Brother West? Is He faithful, brother? Is He faithful? Brother Keith, is He faithful this morning? He is the God that is unchanging. He is the only faithful God. He's just looking for somebody this morning that will take His Word and say, I'm going to believe it regardless. Paradox. Brother says, now what is a paradox? Webster says, it's something that's incredible, but yet it's true. A paradox is something that's incredible, but yet it's true. Brother said, see, so we've got a lot of paradoxes. And he said, do you realize today that truth is more stranger than fiction? People will actually believe fiction before they'll believe truth. Now you say, Brother Andrew, you've fallen off your rocker. No, I haven't. Because there's people in churches today that will believe Santa Claus. They'll believe that a man gets... They'll believe that a man gets in a sleigh, and Brother Lance, he rides around the world in one night and drops presents off to millions of kids, and they'll believe that, and they'll say there's no way that they can believe in the virgin birth. You see, they'll believe something that they've not got one evidence to believe, and they'll reject something that's been tried and tested for 2,000 years and is still proven true today. Let me say this with all of my heart. I stand with a prophet when he said this Bible's been around the world 7 times under this ministry, and I've never seen it defeated yet. Oh, is there anybody here that likes a good challenge? Is there anybody here that likes a good challenge? Well, let me tell you what a good challenge is. It's when you take something that everybody is standing against and you put it to a place that there is no way anybody can deny it. That right there is a challenge. And I know there's a lot of websites. I know there's a lot of haters. I know there's a lot of reprobates. I know there's a lot of people that's against this message. But may I say, if God stood with a prophet, He'll stand with a prophecy.
If God stood with the Bible, he'll stand with the manifestation of what is written in those scriptures. Oh, I'm not a crazy man this morning. I am a believer that you can never defeat God. This word will never be defeated anywhere, any place, any time, under any condition. The word of God will prevail until victory comes, until liberty comes, until healing comes, until manifestation comes, until the revelation comes, and you see yourself in God's holy word. Oh, stand with this Bible, brother. Stand with this message, sister. Don't lay down your standards. Stand for it this morning. If you're waiting on it to get easier, you're going to be waiting a lot longer. Oh, it ain't getting easier. But the greater the battle, the greater the victory. You see, the world is full of paradoxes. Remember, I said the world standing itself is a paradox. You see, the world has turned for years. And Brother Mark, it's not missed a time yet. You see, it's a paradox. The moon is a paradox. Brother said the moon is God's watchdog. See, it watches over the seashore. How that God has set boundaries, and he controls those boundaries. Oh, brother, can I just make God this morning as big as I possibly can? He is a God that has set boundaries. He set earth boundaries. He set geography boundaries. He set all kinds of boundaries. And Brother Harry, they've yet to go beyond their boundary because the creation knows who its creator is. Oh, brother, now do you see why when the wind blows that the trees move? Now do you see why when the rain falls that the seed comes out of the ground? Because there's something in the creation that they recognize the creator. Oh, church, this morning, can you not see that you are the creation and he is the creator? And when the wind of the Holy Ghost comes blowing through the congregation, now do you see why you got to move? Because it's you recognizing your creator, recognizing your maker, recognizing your healer, recognizing your Lord. I'll tell you what a prophet said. He said the only thing that God is waiting on right now, I don't believe he's waiting on Russia. He said Russia means nothing to God. Now don't take that wrong. He's talking about the atomic warfare. God's not scared by Russia's bombs. I know people take what he says and runs off on limbs, but let's come back to the middle of the road. He was not saying he didn't care about the believers there. He don't care about the bombs. He don't care about the threats, because before the first bomb hung in the hangar, he hung on Calvary to defeat every bomb that they thought they would ever drop. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I feel like preaching right now. If the devil knew the power of the bomb that the blood of Jesus Christ was going to be, he would have stopped that blood. But there was no way he could stop that blood from falling. There was no way he could render that blood powerless. And may I say this morning, that blood has still got power. That blood has still got atoning favor. There is no way the devil can defeat the blood of Jesus. He's not interested in bomb shelters. He's not scared of bombs. He's not scared of missiles. He said he wants to get one man that he can wrap his spirit into him that'll tell the rest of it. He said, and there will be another paradox. You see, the reason there was a paradox is because he got a man that would surrender to him. The paradox is that somebody is going to believe what's been spoken. And they're going to believe that what's been spoken is going to be accomplished. You see, God is not a God. God is not a man like we are. He don't get a bunch of stuff going and then get all busy. He finishes. Come on, sisters, y'all ought to be clapping. He don't tear your kitchen up and 10 months later it's still tore up and go work on the lawnmower. No, he finishes what he starts. Oh, hallelujah. He finishes What he starts, you got scripture on that. Oh, I do. He that hath begun a good work is more than able to perform it and accomplish that which he said he will do. You say, Brother Andrew, I'm looking at my life right now, and I know God started on me one time, but it looks like right now my life is falling apart. Let me just remind you, he didn't bring you this far to leave you. He didn't teach you to swim to let you drown. He didn't build a home inside of you to move away. He is a God this morning that will finish his purpose in your life. You may have to fight, you may have to struggle, but I guarantee you someday you're going to stand before him as an identified masterpiece of the handiwork of the master architect himself. You see, through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. You see, the sun rises, it sets to show the birth, the death, the resurrection, the birth, the death, the resurrection, perfectly turning. Notice here, summer, winter, autumn, fall, just perfectly showing the death, the burial, and resurrection. You see, but when we come forth again, it'll be a complete new season. It will be in the millennium. You see, there will be no more death. Oh, how we can stay on that all afternoon to see how wonderful God's paradoxes are. The very earth that we are sitting on, according to Hebrews 11:3, is a paradox. What is it? It's the Word of God made manifest. The very earth that you are sitting on, what is it? It's the Word of God made manifest. See, notice, Brother Bram said, oh, doctor, I'm beginning to feel real religious right now. His word cannot return unto him unaccomplished for what it's been spoken for. His word will not return unto him void, but when he speaks that word and he sends that word out, that word is going to return and it's going to have accomplished the purpose in which God sent it forth to accomplish. Oh, God's waiting this afternoon on a people that'll take a hold of that. You ever thought about that? What kind of meeting you'd have here if every time you heard the word, whatever it was, you just took a hold of it. He said, and take a hold of that and accomplish what it's purposed for. See, it cannot return until it's been accomplished. Let me tell you how to determine God is to get you your blessing. If God, oh brother, if God sends a blessing this morning, and that blessing is in this meeting from the time you get here until the time I dismiss, and you've not got that blessing yet, God is so determined you get that blessing, he'll call somebody, come up here and sing till you get that blessing. The preacher may dismiss, the deacon may dismiss, everybody may leave, and you may be the only person sitting in here. But if God's got a blessing for you and it's got your name on it, brother, he'll raise up a whole nother church service just to see that you receive what he sent for you. Oh, may I say this morning, that's the sovereignty of a loving God. That's how much he loves you this morning. He does not want to see this word return to him unfulfilled. He said, oh, I believe this morning that every born-again member of the body of Christ is a paradox in themselves. I believe each one of you Methodist, Presbyterian, Lutheran that's never had experienced the baptism of the Holy Spirit was in some formal church that did not believe in the genuine new birth. And now receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Brother, can't you see why they was glad when you left? You was the biggest stick in the mud they ever had. They'd say, come up here and shake a preacher's hand. You'd say, there's something ain't right about that. They'd say, come up here and sow a $50 seed. You'd say, there's something ain't right about that. They'd say, you need healing in your body. They'd say, go over there and see the doctor and then come see us. And then we'll go down here to the counselor. And then we'll see if God's still got divine. You said something ain't right about that. You remember that woman went to Brother Bram's, was in that meeting Brother Bram talked about. He said her son was a real sophisticated, dignified man. Said he went to this real formal church. Said they got over that church. Said his mom was a hollering, carrying on sister. Said she got in there. Said everything she heard the preacher say. Said she'd just scream, amen. Said they asked her, when you go to this church, would you mind to quieten down a little bit? She went in there. She tried to behave as long as she could. You see what? She may have not been getting a whole loaf, but she was recognizing the crumb that was coming. And she, Brother Bram said, when she heard that man say, there's still blood, there's still mercy, she jumped up and said, amen. You see, that's the reason you're a paradox, is because every demon of religion is trying to control you. But here you are this morning, and there ain't no Baptist idea. There ain't no Pentecostal idea. You're being controlled by the word and the word alone. We have come to a word age where the church is controlled by the word. Oh, Malachi 4 will restore the faith. Can you say amen? Malachi 4 will restore the faith in the word. See, what's he going to do? There's going to be a restoring of the faith. We read over in Jude where we're going to earnestly contend for the faith. Now we are promised in Malachi 4 by the same system. What is the same system? It's the system of the prophetic. God has never dismissed the element of prophetic from his church. Is that okay? God has never dismissed his attribute of being prophetic from his church. You see, we are promised that he's going to restore. What's he going to restore us back to? The original seed, this is a direct quote, to the seed like it began on the day of Pentecost. So we're not going back just to Azusa. We're going back to the upper room. We're going back to the same doctrine, word by word, power by power, spirit by spirit, the same thing, just exactly like it was in the beginning, through signs, wonders, and the living presence of Jesus Christ. See, what's going to happen is the unseen power of God is going to come into the church. This is a direct quote. I'm going to read it. Now, what if God is speaking to a lady in the prayer line, proving his word 64? What if he would give me a vision and tell this woman something to do? Well, I believe if I laid my hands up on her, she'd get well. Do you believe that? But what if he didn't give the vision? What would the vision do? It would only give me faith. It would only give me, it would be transmitting my faith, the unseen power of God. See, now if you, every one of you right now, die this minute, you'd never see you leave your body. Seventh grade education. All your mental faculties, all that you are would leave, but you'd never see it go. See, the force that makes me move my hand, that's a force, isn't it? The force that can make me think, the force that makes me preach, makes me live, makes me act, motivates this body, would leave it and you wouldn't see the force leave. It's an unseen force. Oh, thank you, Lord. It's an unseen force. An unseen force comes. Oh, can I have some liberty here? An unseen force comes and moves among the church and raises your faith and you feel it in the building. Brother Bram said, what is that you're feeling? You're feeling the living presence of a living God. He said, now remember how you feel when it leaves. You don't see it leave. You feel it leave. You don't, oh God, you don't see it move, you feel it move. And he says right here, if life leaves your body, it's a force that's going to move it out, and you're not going to see it. Oh, now do you see why he said that one of these days that presence is going to come, and when it leaves, you'll leave with it. When it leaves, you'll leave with it. How can you say that? Because it's an unseen force. He says, notice, I want to catch this. Notice, don't miss this now. And Jesus said, they shall lay hands on the sick. See, when I lay my hands upon you, it's not me. It's the unseen force driving that spirit from you. Now, do you see why the devil hates the preaching of the word? Brother Terry, he hates it. He hates it because he's here pushing, but the word's pushing back. You see, it's faith in the word. So Abraham goes on to say, now this faith I'm talking about has got to be an unwavering faith. It's got to be established. Now, why does it have to be established? Because there's a wind advisory that's in effect for the last days. Paul said there's going to be men carried about by the winds of false doctrines. I didn't say it. You can't even put that on Brother Branham. It came from Paul. Paul said that winds are going to be blowing, and whatever is not anchored, the wind is going to blow them with it. Oh, let me just have some liberty here. Now do you see why the devil can't stand the real men of God around this message? There's been the wind of seven thunder. There's been the wind of Perusia. There's been the wind of return. There's been the wind of two lords. But let me tell you, there's been some men of God that could not be bought, could not be sold, could not be elevated, could not be gambled, could not be bought. Why? Because they were anchored in established faith. Now do you see why that Brother Branham said, take everything you believe. Don't take it back to some idea. Prove it from the Bible. Prove it from the word. Oh, come on, church. Our only hope this morning of not being carried about as wavering winds is if we anchor our lives upon this word. Paul said in 2 Timothy 3, hey, it's Sunday morning. We've only got one service. Let your hair down and let's have church. Now is Janice and Jambres. Some people come to church with leaving on their mind. They've already got planned where they're going to eat, what they got to do the next 10 days. But God's got a blessing this morning. God's got some revelation this morning. God's got some deliverance. God's got some freedom. Oh, let me tell you something, brother. What you're feeding upon this morning, not because it's coming from me, but because it's coming from the Master Chef himself. What you're feeding upon this morning, it's better than Red Lobster biscuits. It's better than some steak somewhere. What you're feeding upon this morning is not going to sustain your body. It's going to change your body. This is not natural manna. This is hidden manna that is come from the presence of Almighty God. God this morning has prepared your body changing meal. He's prepared the word to set you free from whatever you're going through. Oh, Brother Rob, this manna is more than body sustaining manna. It's body changing manna. I feel like preaching right there right now. It's body changing manna. See, now as Janus and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist. Notice, not a truth, but they resist the truth. They're men of corrupt minds and reprobate concerning not a faith, but the faith. You see, now we got to separate something here from just being something in general to being something specific. Faith. You're not called according to a purpose. You're called according to the purpose. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be made manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. But thou hast fully known my doctrine. Oh, why could Brother Branham take Joel 2? Why could Brother Branham take Matthew 24? Why could Brother Branham take Acts 3? Why could he take 2 Timothy 3 and call them end time anointing scriptures? Why could he do it? Because he was a prophet with the full understanding of what was in those scriptures. If I've got all of this Gatorade and I give it to Brother Terry and I walk away, how can I say Brother Terry's only got part of that Gatorade? If I delivered it unto him, Brother Watts, if I delivered it unto him, how can he say I've only got a part of it? All that I had, I gave unto Brother Terry. And when I walked away, he had all that I had. Oh, come on, church. You're not a partial church with a partial message and a partial revelation, but the seals has been ripped off of the book. You are a church this morning with the full redemption revelation that's going to lift you up off of this earth. Let it ring this morning from the four corners of this building. All that God was, he poured into Christ. And all that Christ was, he poured in the bride. Hallelujah. Then this is the group that's going to fully understand the doctrine. In the hour, let me finish that. I'm not in a hurry. I'm just preaching. Brother Louie, I got that meant. He forgot I got the last word. But thou hast fully known. I better not say that. He may be dismissing. I love you, buddy. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, the manner of life, the purpose, the faith, the long-suffering, the charity, the patience. See, Paul says, you've seen my life. Now, when Janice and Jambers come, don't judge them just by what I've said, but judge them by my life that I've lived. Now, Brother Randall, now do you see why we're not judging Benny Hinn? His life is judging him. We're not judging T.D. Jakes. The life the man is living is judging the ministry he's preaching. Come on, church. And the life that William Branham lived matched the message that he brought. You see, it's in the hour of the reprobates that Brother Branham picks this up in the token and says, stand steady with what you got. Now, if what you got ain't broke, Brother Carter, then why do we need to fix it? And let me go on record and say, this message ain't broke. William Branham wasn't broke. The fivefold ministry ain't broke. I'm going to get in trouble here, sure as the world, but I'm going to say it or I'm going to bust. Isn't it amazing that men's been preaching this gospel for 2,000 years, and in the end time somebody raises up and sees something wrong with what's being done for 2,000 years and all of a sudden needs to fix it? We need to shut these preachers down and just push play. We need to put a tape boy pin on our shirt and walk around and say, I'm just a tape boy. Let me tell you something. I love them tapes, but I'm more than a tape boy. I'm more than a bookworm. I'm more than a Branhamite. I am a believer that the word William Branham was preaching was rapturing faith. It was more than an idea. It was more than a tradition. Let me tell you something, church. How many in here this morning can say, I'm not wearing a wheat pen. I'm not wearing a tape boy pen. I'm wearing the token. Hallelujah. I've got the token on display inside of my heart. And there ain't no devil. There ain't no preacher. There ain't no man that can take the token away from me. God gave it to me. Brother Seth, God gave me this token. God gave me the Holy Ghost. God gave me the manifestation of His Spirit. And there ain't nobody gonna take it from me. There's preachers in this message that can preach circles around me. You know what I say? I know it. But there ain't nobody can take my place. There ain't nobody can take your place. Now, we want to talk about a true fivefold ministry. Let's talk about one. And we got one. I know they say there's a true and there's a false, but we got a true fivefold ministry. People now attack it as calling it politics. But let me tell you what a true fivefold ministry is. It's when a bunch of preachers become a brotherhood. And they can call the fivefold ministry and the men of God what they want to. But let me tell you something. God's got some generous message. Brother Bram said, I'm just letting loose and I'm letting my hair down and I'm just going to preach. Brother Bram said, the reason why nobody's scoring touchdowns is because everybody's worried they're the one not carrying the ball. But let me tell you this morning, if you're on my team, Brother Lance, and I'm on your team, if you score a touchdown, I score a touchdown. If you're on my team, and I'm on your team, if you score a touchdown, everybody that's identified on that team is identified with that victory. Come on, church, we're just having fun. You ought not say that. Well, what else are we doing here? Being miserable? Come on, folks. People don't go to ball games and act like message people do. I heard Brother Tony people say it for years, going to church is what I do for fun. And I always believed it, but a few months ago I got a revelation of it. How many of y'all was down there in that youth camp at Brother Tim's? Brother Ross, y'all was there. We was having that prayer line down there Saturday night. I mean, Brother Joel, you was there. People was coming through that prayer line, falling out in the spirit, demons being cast out, lives being changed, healing. Brother Mark, you're from down there. You was there. Amen. All these miracles taking place. Man, I've always been taught, you know, when you go to church, or not been taught, but just always heard, you got to act all proper and you got to make sure. I looked over across from me and Timothy Pruitt was standing over there praying that prayer line. I looked over him, man, he had the biggest grin on his face. I go, what in the world? What's he grin? And then all of a sudden, Brother Timothy just leaned back and slapped his knee. He said, I'm having fun. Reached over and high-fived somebody. And brother, it struck me. They'll go to a ball game. They'll jump up and down. They'll chest bump. They'll high five people. They'll run up and down the aisles. They'll carry on when somebody tackles the other player. And Brother Wes, I realized something. We wasn't tackling each other. We was tackling hell. You know what was happening? Hell was hearing the roar of a generation rising up under the power of a Son of Man ministry. And while hell was roaring, we was having a good time. Oh, hallelujah. 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 I'll tell you what you need to do. When God gives you a blessing, you ought to just reach over and high-five somebody. That came from God. When God heals your body, you oughtn't to be ashamed to stand up and say, He did it for me. You got a right. You've been established in the faith. People got so established they can't even move no more. I tell you what, when you get established in that new home, you enjoy it. Brother Andrew, quit it. You're going to roll off and be a Pentecostal. Too late. I've said it before. I'll say it 100 more times. You call me a Pentecostal. You call me a tapeworm. You call me what you want to. But you make sure on the day of the rapture you call me gone. Because I ain't going to be here. You see, the only time we move is when the pillar of fire moves. When the pillar of fire stops moving, we stop moving. But as long as the pillar of fire is moving, brother, I'm not going to set up shop in the camp of some dead supernatural idea. I'm going to move with the camp of the supernatural. Going beyond the camp, 1964, he said, some of y'all, before you can see the supernatural, you got to move out of the camp you're in. He called them man-made camps. Some people only believe man-made camps are made by preachers, not realizing they make their own camps. Oh, preach somebody. Not realizing they take the same message and make their own camps. Brother, I've wondered what it'd be like one time, just one time, for everybody to lay aside the human injections of some man's creed and go beyond the camp of their own understanding, go beyond the camp of reason, go beyond the camp of imagination, and step over in the camp where the rivers are flowing and the bread is falling and the honey is rolling and the grapes are being pressed. Oh, come on, church. We're not in a man-made camp this morning. We're in the camp of the Bible. Can I go on? There it is. Man of perverted minds. We're... Does imagination begin? In the mind. Now I want you to notice why that Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses. Men of perverted minds. In 2 Corinthians 4, Paul says, in whom the God of this world hath blinded, perverted, twisted the minds that they should not see the glorious light. It's a good thing they don't hook me up to an X-ray machine right now. It's coming quicker than it can come out. The reason they are denying the pillar of fire, the glorious light, is because their minds has been perverted by hybrid teaching. See, the reprobates concerning the truth, that they might have congregations, they might have great things, they might have high and big flowery things, but the hour will finally arrive, so you just stand steady with that token. That's what God wants us to do, is hold to His Word. Don't you move from it, stay right with it. The Bible has said so. When death was striking, God had showed them mercy. So when your mind becomes perverted, when your mind becomes blinded, when the veil of the Word comes to take off the veil over the minds, that's what Paul said, the Word will take off the veil of tradition, unveiling of God. will take the veil of tradition off. The God of this evil age. Do you see now why that there's two things going on? The son of perdition is blinded the mind, but the son of man is opening the eyes of enlightenment. There's an opening and there's a blinding taking place at the same time. There's a people seeing Bible days again, and there's a people saying there's no way it can be. Now, I know people have come to a place they don't think the pillar of fire picture is important no more because it's over, Brother Branham. I know people say, well, if you hang that picture up in your home or put it in your bill folder, you're going to be called a man follower. But let me tell you something. If God thought enough of me to come down in this generation and have his picture taken for me, if God thought enough for me of me to hang up on a cross for me, let me tell you something. I don't care what some lizard tongue reprobate around this message says about the picture of the pillar of fire. Brother, I'm going to hang it in my study. I'm going to hang it in my house. I'm going to put it in my... Come on, somebody. That is a picture that headship has returned to the church. Aren't you ashamed of it? A few weeks ago, my wife and I was on our way home from Canada, and I'd been studying coming home. It was late at night. I put my iPad in the back of the plane seat in front of me, got up, got home, forgot about it. I was heading down North Carolina, preaching meeting, was packing my Bible stuff up. I couldn't find my iPad. All of a sudden, it dawned on me. It's on that airplane. So I had to call the airport. The lady called me back. She said, sir, we got a brown cased iPad here. Said, you're going to have to identify it. I said, well, it's an iPad. It's got a brown case on it. What more do you need to know? She said, well, tell me what the screensaver is. She said, tell me what the screensaver is. I said, well, she said, well, let me tell you. She said, it's a picture of some man with a tie on. And he's got something over his head. I said, let me tell you something. That is Malachi 4 fulfilled. And I said, that's the same pillar of fire that hung over Moses, that hung over Paul, returned in the third dispensation to take a church out of here. She said, it'll be here waiting on you. Come get it. I heard a Bible say, if you deny me here, I'll deny you there. I may have to stand alone. They may call us a bunch of man followers, but you put it on the tape. You pastored across the wall. I believe this message is the returning of the pillar of fire to anchor a church that they won't be blown about with the strange winds of doctrines in the last days. Do you believe it over here? Do you believe it here? Do you believe it over there? I'm a believer. Now they think it's crazy. But to us who believe... So, you can't think the pillar of fire picture is crazy and believe. And know the truth. We know it's his living presence, for it does the same. S-A-M-E. The same. The thing that he did when he was here on the earth. What did it do when it was here on the earth? It led God's promised people. It guided God's promised people. It gave them light. Come on, sir. Just sit down. I've got to come to a quit. Y'all's pulling the life out of me right now. Brother Wallace, it's something if we go study what the pillar of fire done in the Bible and what it done when it returned in Brother Bram's time. It did the same thing. It did the same thing. I ain't got time to go into all that it did, but let's just go through a few of them. It announced a prophet was up on the scene in Moses' day. It announced a prophetic seed was laying inside of Saul when he was changed to Paul in Paul's day. And my people was not a religious people, but the morning of my birth. I am told that a light come in the room and hung over the crib where I was laying. What did the pillar of fire do? It stood between Moses and the children of Israel and the Pharaoh's army at the Red Sea. Oh, help me somebody. What did it do? It stood between God's people and Egypt in the time of trouble. Abraham said the pillar of fire is a go-between in the time of trouble. Can you hear me this morning? What did it do for Paul when he was fixing to be thrown in prison? When he was in prison, the pillar of fire appeared in the time of trouble. I'm trying to tie it up and go home. And here we are in the seventh age, and a prophet is standing in Houston Coliseum in a time of trouble. Divine healing, the days of divine healing is over. I'm going to shake my fist in his face, and I'm going to take Daddy Bosworth's hide and hang it up on a wall as a trophy against divine healing. I had a coat over my head, and I had two cops escort me up. Y'all think I'm crazy, don't you? This is my life. Leave me alone. I live to preach about this message. I slipped up in the balcony. I sat down, said I wasn't going down there. See, y'all's pulled me away from that right now. I wasn't going down there. I'm going somewhere with this. But then all of a sudden he said, I know he's in the building somewhere. He said, so I knew I couldn't sit there any longer. Now you've seen God in healing. Now you watch God in battle. You've seen God in healing. Now you watch God in battle. He said, and I went down there, and he said, now they're challenging divine healing. They're challenging the supernatural. He said, but let me say it this way, in case you're wondering, he's not 3 foot from where I'm standing. Spoken words is the original seed. There were 3 seeds being sown at the same time. There was the denominational seed being sown by Billy Graham. There was the Pentecostal prosperity seed being sown by Oral Roberts. But there was the end time spoken word seed that would produce the literal spoken word seed, bruh. Oh, now do you see why you can't deny this Bible? You are this Bible. You can't deny this message. You are this message. You can't deny the supernatural. You are supernatural. Oh, Lord. Can I bring it closer home? Way off us to me looking at my watch. Y'all look at yours. Billy Graham fulfilled his commission. You had 3 messengers up on the earth. I've got to close. You had 3 messengers up on the earth trying to identify the same God. They were all trying to identify Jesus Christ. Billy Graham, bless his heart, was identifying him by theology. Oral Roberts was identifying him by feeling. I feel he's here. I sense he's here. He's here somewhere. Oh, but William Branham stood before thousands times thousands and says, I'm not guessing he's here. I'm not feeling he's here. He's standing right here beside me. And I heard Brother Seth, a prophet of God, say, wherever the word or the message of the hour is preached, then there the pillar of fire is in the midst of the camp it's being preached in. So may I say this unashamedly this morning, that the pillar of fire must be here. What is it that healed your body since last night? What is it that gave you the Holy Ghost? What is it that brought you off your road to hell and sent you back on Glory Avenue? It was the same pillar of fire that moved before is moving again. The same faith. The faith of Israel brought the pillar of fire to their tents in the time of trouble. And let me tell you what you need to do. You need to kick Dr. Dobson's ideas out the door. I don't care if you like it. I said it. I meant it. I stand behind it and I represent it. You need to kick smiley faces ideas out the door. If you want the supernatural revival whirling around in your home, you need to go home and kick everything out that is of the natural atmosphere of this carnal world and say, God, I want to be spiritually minded by election. Now let the supernatural presence of Almighty God fill this house. Oh, they say, we're just imagining. Oh, Janice and Jambres is saying, we're just imagining the pillar of fire was there. But how can we imagine when we got results? I'm not very smart. I'll admit that. But if I come in this room and the walls was white and the next time I come back they were blue. Oh, Brother Andrew, you're just imagining somebody painted them. No. They've changed. They've changed. They've changed. Y'all get that about lunchtime tomorrow and scare your boss to death. They've changed. There's been a change. There's something different. The last time I was here, those walls was white. But the next time I was here, those walls had been changed. Oh, now do you see why that you've got the devil popping Laura tabs? Now do you see why that you got the devil hooked on depression medicine? Now do you see why you got the devil out of his mind? Because he can't figure out the mystery of your life. He can't figure out how that one day you was born in sin, you was shaped in iniquity, you come in the world under a sin-cursed birth, but you got in the presence of the pillar of fire. Oh, come on somebody, I'm about done. The devil knows the pillar of fire. That's why he fights it with everything within him. The pillar of fire drowned his enemies. Israel crossed on dry ground. Egypt thought they could. The pillar of fire was a go-between in the time of trouble. Here we go again. The pillar of fire led. The pillar of fire provided. The pillar of fire protected. The pillar of fire led Israel out of Egypt. The pillar of fire provided shoes upon their feet, put food in their mouth, and the pillar of fire protected them when the enemy was trying to follow them. I gotta quit right here because I'm about to fall over. But I'll tell you why the devil hates you is because the pillar of fire led you to where you're at today. Can I get a witness that the pillar of fire of this Bible has led you to where you're at today? Can I get a witness that the pillar of fire has provided for you to where you're at today? Can I get a witness that the pillar of fire has protected you, has watched over you? Can I get a witness that the same God of the Bible is back in the earth today? Come on, musicians. He's here. He's here. Oh, no, we're not imagining this. Bro, I liked what you told me down there the other day. Brother Wallace come to me and telling me about some people who have been claiming to see the light and the pillar of fire somewhere. He said, we got to make sure it ain't just flashes of light. We got to make sure it lines up with the one that's been identified. I'm not ashamed. I know the change this message made in my life. I'm not ashamed of this message. How can I be ashamed? How can I? How can I be ashamed when I didn't have no hope, but this message gave me hope? How can I be ashamed when I didn't have no voice, but this message gave me a voice? How can I be ashamed when I couldn't smile, but this message put a smile on my... Oh, come on, church. Let me tell you something. When you've been burned down by some man's idea, by some creed or some dogma or some tradition, and you step into the glorious liberty of the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and this pillar of fire brings a real change inside of your life, oh, they won't have to beg you to come to church. They won't have to beg you to say amen. They won't have to beg you to go to a meeting. There'll be something on the inside of you driving you. I gotta get there. I gotta get there. I can't live without this word. I can't live without this anointing. Brother Andrew, we can't do it. Oh, but if you get a man drunk enough. If you get a man drunk enough, he'll do it one way or the other. If you get a man drunk enough, he'll make a... You say, what are you talking about? I'll tell you what I'm talking about. I remember I may have told this here, but it's on my heart. I'm going to tell it again. We're home, okay? I remember when I was a little boy, my great-grandfather picked me up from school. Now, the school I went to, the school was on one side of the road, and a whiskey joint, alcohol joint, wine, liquor store was on the other side of the road. I remember Granddad picked me up one day, man. We were sitting in the car, and this old man come out. It was an old man or a woman, I can't remember. Come out there, man. They had two arms full of that stuff. I mean, that's like some of y'all going out here had the Old Testament and the New Testament, you know. Just full of that new wine. Just full of that new wine. Except that was old wine. Hey, it was, Brother Louis, they could barely walk. They was all stooped over, but they wasn't dropping that for nothing in the world. They was carrying that out. I never will forget it. Granddad looked at me. He said, now let me tell you what they'll do. He said, they'll go home and drink that, and they'll get so drunk, they'll lay on the floor and look at the wall and say, I'll climb that wall if it takes me all night. Oh, I'll tell you what, friends. This message got me so drunk at an altar one day. I looked up at the top of Mount Zion, and there's something pulsating inside of my soul. I'm going to make it to that new city. It may take me all my life, but someday I'm going to step in the future home of the heavenly bridegroom and the earthly bride. What about you? What about you? Somebody just say it. I'm going to make it. By the grace of God, I've already made it. I've got a Bible faith that's going to lead me back to a Bible promised land. I ain't giving up. I ain't turning around. I ain't quitting. I'm going to keep on preaching this message. You're going to keep on believing this message. I'm going to keep on putting devils under these size 17s until one day I change my body and the astronaut age finally sets off and I rise into that everlasting kingdom. That's where I'll see you. Brother Andrew, aren't you worried that this message may not have the same power? Mighty God unveiled, here we are, changing from glory unto glory. One glory led to the next glory, led to the next glory. And Brother Rev says, and here we are. Here we are with the same kind of faith, acting among the same kind of people, with the same kind of sensations. And the, y'all think I'm just emotional. Oh, come on, somebody. I'm not emotional. I'm excited. I'm leaving this pest house one day. Same kind of people acting the same kind of way, with the same kind of emotion, same kind of sensation, so same kind of anointing. The power of this message. In case you're wondering, I'm not nothing, but I stand before you and raise my hand today and say the power of this message is still piercing devils all across this world. You ask Brother Darrell and some of these brothers that travel. This message is not losing power. I stood the other set the other day in Czech Republic in a youth camp over there, Brother Louis. When I was sitting there, there was a brother came up. He was a... You did come to dismiss singing, didn't you? I'm going to get it sure as the world. I got a mint for you. Sitting there talking to there was actually the camp director of that youth camp. He said, Brother Andrew, he said a few years ago, he was telling some of the brothers there. He said, a few years ago, I got a burden on my heart. Brother Tim Cross was sitting there, I believe. He said, I got a burden on my heart. He said, I wanted to get this message in the hands of the people in Czech. He said, but we only had a limited amount of tapes with the translation and the books translated. He said, we was trying to find a way to get out. Actually, if you all remember Woodstock, they actually have got a Woodstock thing in Germany. They still do over in Europe. They still do it. It's a huge thing. And in case you're wondering, I just want to give you a good report. That there's about 10 fire-baptized, Holy Ghost-filled, message-believing brothers that goes and sits outside of Woodstock and stands there and preaches this message while people's walking in and out of that rock and roll music festival. They've had glass bottles thrown at them. They've had curse words thrown at them. But I've got pictures, brother. They stand there and preach it with all of their hearts. Unashamed. Brother told me, he said, I was wanting to do something for the Lord. I was wanting the people to hear about this prophet. He said, so we had a tape. He said, in this tape, we had Brother Bram's voice on it preaching. But what we would do is we went to a radio station. He said, for 20 minutes of time on that radio station, we paid $200 for 20 minutes. He said, we would turn on the tape. We wouldn't say nothing. We would just turn on the tape and let it run for the whole 20 minutes. Brother Branham preaching and a voice interpreting over what Brother Branham was saying. He said, we was doing that for a long time. We wasn't getting no results. He said, so one day we got so discouraged, we thought maybe we're not reaching nobody. He said, but then our phone rang. He said it was an elderly gentleman who was 92 or 93 years old. He said, I need to speak to somebody that's in charge of that radio broadcast with that voice of that preacher on there. He said, well, I'm in charge of it. He said, sir, I am 93, 92, 93. I am a concentration camp survivor. He said, I survived the camp of Auschwitz. He said, from the time I come out of that camp, he said, my whole entire life, he said, all I've had is traumas and nightmares and fears. He said, sir, you don't know the nights I've relived the torture in that concentration camp in my dreams. He said, but the other night, I come across that radio broadcast. And he said, I turned it on. Now, I hope this don't offend nobody, but let me just preach my convictions. I turned that radio broadcast on. And he said, for the first night in my life since that concentration camp, I had a peaceful night's sleep. I didn't dream about no torture, no beatings, no starvation. He said, it was a peace. He said, sir, I don't even understand what that man was preaching. He said, but there was something about that voice. Let me stand here and go on record and say today, if that voice can cure the fear and torment of a 90, that man said, sir, I called every concentration camp survivor that I could get a hold of and tell him I found a cure. I found a cure. Oh, come on, somebody. Brother Mark, if that voice will deliver a concentration camp survivor from the fears of a concentration camp, what will that messenger do in our homes? What will the pillar of fire? If I was you, I'd go home and take this original Bible with this original faith, with the original seed, for the original Holy Ghost. And I lift it up as high as I could. And watch that original pillar of fire come back in my home. Until peace. Peace. Wonderful peace. Coming from our Father above. You realize that wasn't Brother Branham's voice. It was the voice behind the voice. There was something in that surrendered voice. I gotta quit, I'll go all day. There was something in that surrendered voice that contacted. And that devil knew that voice. That devil knows that voice. But I want to tell you how close I want to get to God. I want to get so close to God that it's not just the devil saying, I know the voice of God and I know the voice of Brother Branham, but I know Andrew Glover's voice. That's a voice that surrendered to the voice of God. You realize what scared the devil? He heard the voice of God in William Branham's voice. You know what scares the devil about every anointed man of God that's not afraid to pick up this Bible and withstand the reprobates concerning the truth? Is they've surrendered their voice to God's voice. God's mouthpieces all over this land. Let us not change what's not broken. How many can say, Lord, grant that in my life today? Grant it, dear God. Bring that peace to this message. You've lost your peace today. He's here. You're going through a storm. The peace of God is here. You're wavering because of some idea you've heard or some website you've opened your mind up to about this message. Peace. Peace is in this building today. And it's yours if you can recognize it. How many can say, I want it today? I need it today. Let's bow our heads together. Forgive me for going a little bit lengthy this morning. But I just can't help but say this morning, I'm honored to be preaching to heroes of the faith. I look around today and I see people that I've seen since I was a little boy. Heroes in this church, some has done crossed over. Some still here fighting the battle. But I want to encourage you. Cast not away your confidence in the Word. For there's a recompense of reward that's coming. As there's a recompense for evil, there's a recompense for righteous. I'll tell you, friends. But Bam said we had put more effort and labors into working for the kingdom if we recognized the rewards that lay on the other side. He said the problem is man cannot see beyond the rewards on this side. So he gets discouraged and gives up. But I want to ask you today, brothers, sisters, young people, how many can say this message is worth laboring for? You may only reach one person in 60 or 70 years, but let me encourage you. That soul will be identified with your name throughout all eternity. With every head bowed, every eye closed, would there be one that could say, I'm getting weary, I'm getting tired, I could use a surge of strength? God bless you, brother. Oh, my, hands up all over the building. The trials of life, the cares of life, the worries of life, the pressures of the end time, they're wearing on me. I need something from the Lord today. Well, I want to tell you, the same God that met the woman at the well in the most critical hour of her life is the same God, hallelujah, that's here to meet you today. It may be the darkest hour you've ever seen, but may I encourage you today, Jesus comes along in the darkest of hours. As we pray today, don't be ashamed to open your heart up to Him. Don't be ashamed to open your whole being up to Him. And just ask Him, Lord, come near. Lord, take this vessel. Wrap your spirit into this empty vessel and make me another paradox. Brother Andrew, you're saying that preaching this message and loving it the way you love it, Mal, you must not have bad days or make mistakes. Oh, come on, friends. Make mistakes every day. Have bad days, valleys, deserts. But I found an unwavering faith in the faith of this message. I'm not a deep preacher. I'm not a great preacher. But there's one thing I want to be able to say. I preach this message unwavering. And people could catch a hold of it. Heavenly Father, Lord, heroes hang in the Hall of Fame. But Lord, a prophet made it so real when he said, Lord, those heroes didn't make it to the Hall of Fame until they walked to the Hall of Critics. Lord, Moses today hangs in the Hall of Fame. But Lord, he walked through the Hall of Critics. He walked through a Dathan and a Korah and a Jannes and a Jambres and a Pharaoh and hundreds of Egyptian soldiers and Philistines and all kinds of different things. Lord, David hangs in the Hall of Fame today. Hallelujah. But Lord, he had to walk through a Goliath. Lord, Shamgar hangs in the Hall of Fame today. But he had to walk through 600 armed Philistines. Lord, the three Hebrew children are all paradoxes I'm mentioning here, Lord. You know it. They all hang today in the Hall of Fame. But Lord, they walk through the Hall of Critics. They walk through the fiery furnace. They walk by the image of their prophet. They walk by Nebuchadnezzar and all the other ones. But Lord, hallelujah, that fourth man appeared in the fire. Lord, it's always in the time of trouble that the pillar of fire appears to the believers. Brother Branham didn't make a mistake when he stepped to take the rapture text, Lord, and preach in the time of trouble. He shall hide me in his pavilion and identify the time of trouble was the time of the rapture. But Lord, I know as I was just sitting that day studying and reading and praying and thinking upon some thoughts, when I read how that you said the pillar of fire was a go-between in the days of the people of God in the time of trouble. And Lord, you said that same pillar of fire has stood between me and my enemies. Lord, I raise my hands and I want to thank you, dear God, that no matter how hot the battle may get, no matter how long the battle may be, no matter how many burdens we may carry, how many trials we may have to go through, your word said you would never leave us nor forsake us. Lord, in the day when there's so many reprobates and, Lord, so many lies being told. Lord, so many falsehoods and just outright filthy lies being told about this message. God, give us the courage, Lord. Lord, we want the same anointing they had in the book of Acts. We want the same power they had to shout and dance and stagger out of there like drunk people. But Lord, I raise my hand today and I ask you for the same courage. I ask you for the same faith, unwavering faith that they had, that when Paul and Silas was thrown in prison, when Paul was going to be beheaded, when Timothy was going to be tortured, when all those in the Bible was going to be hurt, Lord, you give them courage to stand. God, give us courage today, Lord. Give every man, woman, boy, and girl here today courage, Lord, to stand. And Father, no matter what they're going through, Lord, a young person going through a trying time in their life, questions and, Lord, disappointments of things of life and circumstances they couldn't control to come upon them, Lord. But Lord, you said that you would make all things work together for the good to them that love the Lord. Lord, you said the never failing presence of Jesus Christ will always be with you. Lord, we may be hurt, we may be disappointed, but oh God, help us to realize you're here with us. The same God with them is the same God with us. And so Lord, I raise my hand to you in this time of confusion, in this time of weariness, in this time of testing of tools and snares. And I ask you right now, Lord, peace of God, cover us, Lord. Cover our minds, cover our homes, cover our churches, cover our families, cover our pastors, cover our ministry. Hallelujah. Cover every young person. Maybe they become so covered up by the things of the world and worldly desires. Satan, in the name of Jesus Christ, you're defeated. Come away from them for the glory of God. And let the peace of God cover their lives. Hallelujah. Grant it today, Lord Jesus, we ask. Oh, can you just slip your hands up to him? Can you just slip your hands up to him right now? And just ask him, peace, cover me. Peace is not a doctrine. Peace is not a creed. Peace is a person. And that person's got a name. Hallelujah. And that name is the Lord Jesus Christ. Cover us today, Lord. Cover us today. Hallelujah. How many can admit today you know the only reason you're here is because of Christ? And Christ alone. Christ. And Christ alone. Can we worship him for a minute before we leave? If you need prayer for something today, the altar's open. We're more than glad to pray with you, pray for you. Brother Harry, will you sing that Christ Alone? Can you sing that for us today, buddy? Do you love him today? I pray something has been said to help you this weekend. Peace. Christ. The pillar of fire. Still a leader. Still a provider. Still a protector. Hallelujah.
Sing it. Christ alone will I glory.
Let's just worship him for a few moments.
I could pride myself in battles won. I've been blessed beyond measure, and by his strength alone I overcome. Oh, I could stop and count successes like diamonds in my hand, but those trophies could not equal to the grace by which I stand. In Christ alone I place my trust and find my glory in the power of the cross. In every victory, let it be said of me, my source of strength, my source of hope. Source of strength, my source of hope is Christ alone. In Christ alone will I glory, for only by His grace I am redeemed, and only His tender mercies could reach beyond my weakness to my need. And now I seek no greater honor than just to know Him more, and to count my gains as losses to the glory of and find my glory in the power of the cross. In every victory, let it be said of me, my source of strength, my source of hope is Christ alone. In Him I place my trust. My source of hope is in Christ alone. I place my trust and find my glory in the power of the cross. In every victory, let it be said of me, my source of strength. My source of hope is Christ alone. Out of the darkness you shine. Out of the ashes we rise. There's no one like you. There's none like you. Our God is greater. Our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. our God is healer, awesome in power, our God. Oh, our God. Our God is greater, our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power, our God. Our God. Into the darkness you shine. Out of the ashes we rise. There's no one like you. Oh, there's no one like you. Our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power, our God. Oh, our God. Our God is greater. Our God is stronger. God, you are higher than. Stand against. And if our God is for us, who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what can stand against us? Our God is greater, God is stronger, God, you are higher than. Ashes we rise. There's no one like you, Lord, there's none like you. Into my darkness you shine. Out of the ashes we rise. There's no one like you. There's none like you. Our God is greater. Our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Our God. Awesome in power, our God, our God is greater, our God is stronger, God, you are higher than any other, our God is healer, awesome in power, our God. Our God. If you can't help me, please don't stop me. Move out of my way. Don't try to block me. Got a race to run, and I'm running by faith. If you can't help me, please don't stop me. Move out of my way. Don't try to block me. Got a race to run. Lose this race. If you can't help me, well, don't try to stop me. Move out of my way. Don't try to block me. Got a race to run, and I'm running my faith at the finishing line. I see God's face. Stop me. Move out of my way. Don't try to block me. I got a race to run, and I'm running by faith at the finishing line. I'll see God's face. Lord, give me time to run this race. A heart to accept your grace. I got a few more mountains and hills to climb. You'll be waiting for me at the finishing line. Please don't stop me. Move out of my way. You're not trying to block me.
Got a race to run, and we're running by faith at the finish line. We're gonna see God's face. Amen. How many of you believe that heaven kissed these services this weekend? Praise the Lord. Amen. Brother Andrew, God bless you, buddy. I tell you what, if the young'un will keep practicing, he's going to make a preacher sure as this world. Praise the Lord. Hey, just a special blessing to Happy Valley, Brother Andrew. Yes, sir. We certainly appreciate what God's done in his life, his ministry. It's just good to be a Christian. We are having fun. You know, in the world we thought we was having fun. But we woke up sick, mad, broke. Home split up. Kids mad at us. The dog wouldn't even bark at us. We wasn't having no fun. Over here we're having a ball. We're having a jubilee. Amen. Shake hands with somebody and tell them you are glad they was here today. I believe everybody received something. If you can't help me, you're dismissed. Don't try to stop me. Get out of my way. Don't try to block me. I got a race to run, and I'm running by faith at the finish line. See God's face.